The message from our Christmas Eve service is titled, A Born Again Christmas. The scripture reading is Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Welcome, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us this evening. Just want to share a few words before we have the lighting of our candles tonight. It's difficult to think of not having Christmas. Before Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol in the year 1843, Christmas was seldom mentioned. It was seldom celebrated. However, some 3 weeks before Christmas and Dickens' wonderful book came out, Christmas became a sensation. Charles Dickens really helped Christmas to be born again. And when Charles Dickens went to the publisher, this was the book that came out. So in 1843, if you were to buy a book, A Christmas Carol, this is exactly what it would be like. Small, that size. And inside this book, there are replicas of his writing, and it's the wonderful story of Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghosts that come to visit him and what Christmas, of course, is all about. And I want to spend just a little bit of time today talking about why we do celebrate Christmas. Because in the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, he's visited by three ghosts, and I'm sure you know the story very, very well. There's the ghost of Christmas past, there's the ghost of Christmas present, and there's the ghost of Christmas future. And the ghost of Christmas present, if you watch A Christmas Carol starring who was the gentleman that, Alistair Sim, who played in that, there's all multiple Scrooge stories, multiple stories about Christmas. But in that story, the ghost of Christmas present is a huge man sitting up in this living room where Scrooge lives, and he's overwhelmed with the lights and the music and the noise and everything around him, this large ghost, a happy ghost, and he's reminding the dour Scrooge with these words. We don't seek the child, baby Jesus, only one day of the year, but every day of the year. And Scrooge then says to the ghost, leave me alone. Let me keep Christmas in my own way. And the ghost says emphatically, we spirits of Christmas do not live only one day of the year. We live the whole 365 days. So is it true of the child born in Bethlehem? He does not live in men's hearts only one day of the year, but all the days of the year. You have chosen not to seek him in your heart. Therefore, you shall come with me and seek him in the hearts of people of goodwill. And because of Charles Dickens, Christmas was born again. And then the book concludes with Tiny Tim saying, God bless us, everyone. It's a wonderful story. It's really a message about Jesus. And Jesus' name is not mentioned very often in the story, but when you read the story, you can hear the voice of Jesus. You can think of Jesus, because in this book, there's love, which is Jesus. There's joy, Jesus. Peace, kindness, sharing, generosity, welcome, and celebration. It's a time of stopping the rush. And for Ebenezer Scrooge, it was time for stopping that money-changing business that dominated his life, where all he could think about day and the night was more and more and more as he turned his back on society. And Jesus comes into the world, the hymns that we have been singing, this child. And Mary ponders what the angel had said to her about this child. And she watches this child, this son born immaculately. And of course, Jesus had other brothers and sisters. Some of his brothers are mentioned in the scriptures. We don't know the names of his sisters, but there were many brothers and sisters. But Jesus comes into the world as a child, as a teenager, as an adolescent, and growing up in his 30s, we have the teachings of Jesus. And it really does resemble, and I hope you don't think I'm crude for saying this, it really does resemble some of the beautiful tones in this wonderful story, A Christmas Carol. Because when A Christmas Carol was written by Charles Dickens, there was a dirge, there was a sadness around wintertime. Christmas had been forgotten. There wasn't much joy in England and around those places. It was cold, it was dirty. A lot of people were ill constantly. They couldn't get the medicines. Some of them weren't even invented yet. It was not a happy time of the year. And the publisher of Charles Dickens said, why don't you write a book, something along these lines of Christmas? And he sat down. And I recommend, if you've ever seen the movie, The Man Who Invented Christmas, it's the story of how he went about writing this story. He secluded himself in a room, and he created these characters in his mind. And he allowed himself to go deep into himself, the relationship with his own father that wasn't very good, and all kinds of difficulties. He poured his emotions, if you will, into the story. He created people. He created figures, but always with the understanding, oh, there will be light at the end of this tunnel. He agonized as he wrote the story. He poured out his own personal story in other people, in the characters of his story. It's a profound and beautiful movie. And from that, we have this wonderful story reminding us of the simplicity of what a human being can be like. Loving, kind, peaceful, patient, time for people. Oh, we need that. Looking into the eyes of a person and sharing with one another what's happening in life. See, Jesus came into the world as a child and then grew, and he didn't always stand up in front of a group of people and preach. In fact, you're hard-pressed to find any of that in the story of Jesus in the Gospels. He walked among the people. He shared among the people. And what did he share? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he always had an eye for somebody on the outside. And he would welcome people into his own life, his kingdom, and he still does. And some of us who've been Christians for years and years and years, I think, at least talking about myself, need to be reminded of these simple truths that are the most profound truths. The loving kindness that we have received from God to share into the world around us. So Christmas is also a time for children. And I came across this article not too long ago, and I wanted to read it to you. Some of you have been in this experience. It's called the Christmas pageant. And maybe some of you can remember, oh yeah, I've been to many of those pageants before. Here's this person's story. My husband and I had been happily married most of the time for 5 years, but hadn't been blessed with a baby. I decided to do some serious praying and promise God that if he would give us a child, I would be a perfect mother, love this child with all my heart, and raised this child with God's word as my guide. God answered my prayers and blessed us with a son. The next year, God blessed us with another son. The following year, he blessed us with another son. The following year, he blessed us with another son. The year after that, we were blessed with a daughter. Thank the Lord. My husband thought we'd been blessed right into poverty. We now had lots of children, and the oldest was only 4 years old. I learned never to ask God for anything unless I really meant it. As a minister once told me, if you pray for rain, make sure you carry an umbrella. I began reading a few verses of the Bible to the children each day as they lay in their cribs. I was off to a good start. God had entrusted me with 4 children, and I didn't want to disappoint him. I tried to be patient the day. The children smashed 2 dozen eggs on the kitchen floor, searching for baby chicks. I tried to be understanding when they started a hotel for homeless frogs in the spare bedroom, although it took me nearly 2 hours to catch all 23 frogs. When my daughter poured ketchup all over herself and rolled up in a blanket to see how it felt to be a hot dog, I tried to see the humor rather than the mess. In spite of changing over 25,000 diapers, never eating a hot meal, never sleeping for more than 30 minutes at a time, I still thank God daily for my children. While I couldn't keep my promise to be a perfect mother, I didn't even come close, I did keep my promise to raise them in the Word of God. I knew I was missing the mark just a little when I told my daughter we were going to church to worship God, and she wanted to bring a bar of soap along to wash up Jesus too. Something was lost in my translation when I explained that God gave us everlasting life, and my son thought it was generous of God to give us his last wife. My proudest moment came during the children's Christmas pageant. My mother was playing Mary, 2 of my sons were shepherds, and my youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. My 5-year-old shepherd had practiced his line, "We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." But he was nervous and said, "The baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes." So my 4-year-old Mary said, "That's not wrinkled clothes, silly. That's dirty, rotten clothes." A wrestling match broke out between Mary and the shepherd and was stopped by an angel who bent her halo and lost her left wing. I slouched a little lower in my seat when Mary dropped the doll representing baby Jesus, and it bounced down the aisle crying, "Mama, Mama." So Mary grabbed the doll, wrapped it back up, and held it tightly as the wise men arrived. My other son stepped forward, wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger and announced, "We are the wise men, and we are bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got the greatest standing ovation it has ever had. And she says, "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one," laughed the minister, wiping tears from his own eyes. "For the rest of my life, I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur." My children are my pride and my joy and my greatest blessing. I said as I dug through my purse for an aspirin, those words. And then these words that you've heard before. This Jesus, who was born to us, had no servants, but they called him master. Had no degree, but they called him teacher. Had no medicines, but they called him healer. Had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, and yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives even to this very day. Feel honored to serve such a leader who loves us? Yes, we do. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas to all.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.